Listener discretion is strongly advised. Sometimes this podcast contains themes of a sexual nature in relation to the crimes that we talk about. This podcast contains triggers such as violence and/or abuse, and sometimes contains adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to another episode of If I Go Missing. I'm Megan.
And I'm Lynn.
Today's story is about a man who walked into a bar and never came out. It sounds like the beginning of a horrible joke, which is what I'm sure the whole situation felt like to the family of Brian Schaefer.
Brian Randall Schaefer was born on February 25, 1979, in Pickerington, Ohio, to parents Randy and Renee Schaefer. He has a younger brother named Derek. Brian graduated in 2003 from Ohio State University, where he obtained a bachelor's degree in microbiology as well as a minor in molecular genetics. Those who knew him described Brian as a free-spirited, intelligent, outgoing, and a jokester. He was especially close to his mother, Renee, a nurse who served as his inspiration to pursue a career in the medical field. Brian took some time off after graduation to work as a radiology tech assistant in Ohio University Hospital. However, it wasn't long before he decided he wanted to go back on track with his educational plans. In August 2004, he began attending OSU, College of Medicine, intending to eventually become a doctor.
It was around this time when he began dating fellow medical student Alexis Wagoner. Though they had only been dating for a matter of months, their friends and respective families believed that their relationship was becoming serious and anticipated that they would soon become engaged. No one was more hopeful for this outcome than Brian's mother, Renee, who loved Alexis and encouraged her son to propose. In 2005, the Schaefer family was dealt a difficult blow when Renee was diagnosed with myelodysplastic syndrome, MDS, which is a rare type of blood cancer that interferes with the body's ability to form healthy blood cells. It's also commonly referred to as bone marrow failure disorder. Renee's diagnosis hit everyone in the family hard, but no one more so than Brian, who loved his mother dearly and described her as the greatest and most wonderful person in the world. Renee's final gift to her son would be a trip for two to Miami, Florida for the upcoming spring break. He planned to go with Alexis. Sadly, on March 5th, 2006, Renee Schaefer passed away at the age of 51, leaving behind a devastated family. After his mother's passing, Brian's life kind of seemed to take a turn. In the days and weeks following his mother's passing, Brian struggled to come to terms with the loss. One day he asked his girlfriend Alexis to run away with him, though it was unclear if he was joking or not. The matter was soon dropped, but a week later he told Alexis that she should move on and find someone else because he was in a dark place emotionally. She refused to leave him and the relationship continued. They still planned to go to Miami together in early April.
As a second-year medical student at Ohio State, Brian Schaefer had a bright future ahead of him. Brian was relieved when finals were over and it was spring break. He went out for dinner with his father, Randy, that evening to celebrate. According to Randy, Brian seemed exhausted, probably from pulling multiple all-nighters, studying in preparation for his exams, but nothing else seemed out of the ordinary. Allegedly, there was tension between Randy and his son over a share of Renee's life insurance policy that Brian and Derek were set to receive. Randy was under the impression that they were receiving more money than they should. Renee supported Brian while he was attending college, and it was rumored that Randy intended to cut Brian off financially, though this claim was never confirmed.
Though Brian had a promising future, all of that changed on April 1st, 2006. After having dinner with his father, Bryant went out with his friend William Clint Florence. The two went to a bar, and early in the evening, Clint phoned his friend Meredith Reed to join them. She picked them up, and the three went bar hopping together, happily, eventually ending up at the Ugly Tuna Saloon in Columbus, Ohio. Bryant called Alexis, who was in Toledo visiting her family, around 10 p.m. to tell her that he loved her and to confirm their travel plans for Monday. Brian and Clint reportedly had an argument on the night Brian went missing. The cause of the argument is unclear, but it ended with Brian walking away. Around 2 a.m., Clint and Meredith realize that they still haven't seen Brian in a while and start to search for him. They looked all over the two-story bar, including inside the restrooms, but could not find him anywhere. They also tried calling him, but received no answer. Assuming he had simply chosen to walk home, as his apartment was only 6 blocks away, they left without him. The following morning, Meredith took Clint to pick up his car from the parking lot of Brian's apartment building, but neither checked on Brian while they were there, even though they still hadn't heard from him. Neither Randy nor Alexis could reach him that weekend either. When he didn't show up to the airport on Monday, they knew something was wrong and reported him missing.
During the first few days of his disappearance, up to 50 cops searched for him at any given time. The Ugly Tuna Saluna, hospitals, homeless shelters, dumpsters, and trash cans were all searched in an effort to locate Brian, or at least find a clue as to what happened to him. Nothing was found. Wagoner reported calling his cell phone every day, but it went straight to voicemail, until one night in September when it actually rang 3 times. But Schaefer's wireless provider said that may have been a computer glitch. Additionally, his phone was not GPS enabled, so its location could not be determined. A ping from the phone was detected at a cell tower 14 miles northwest of Columbus, where he was last seen. Also, since the last time he was seen, his debit cards have never been used. Since Columbus has more security cameras than any other city in Ohio, more than Cleveland, Toledo, and Cincinnati combined, the police hoped the video footage might shed a little light on the events that led to his disappearance. Footage of Bryant does show him outside the Ugly Tuna Saluna just before 2 a.m. on the morning of April 1st, 2006, talking to two women before heading inside. The final footage of Brian Schaefer from the security cameras at the Ugly Tuna clearly showed him walking off screen and back toward the bar entrance before disappearing entirely. It was certainly possible that the cameras simply missed Schaefer before he left the scene, but one camera panned continuously around while the other was manually operated. And while the bar also had one other exit, it led to a chaotic construction site. Investigators then wondered if that meant perhaps Schaefer had disappeared on purpose. He could have changed his clothes or left through the exit that led to the construction site. Schaefer's friends and relatives were questioned, and everyone except his roommate, who refused, passed lie detector tests. For some reason, these two women he was seen chatting with were not asked to take tests.
Theories abound as to what happened to Brian Schaefer that night at the Ugly Tuna Saluna. One theory his family is completely against is the idea that Brian decided to run away and fake his own disappearance. Brian's family has always insisted that there was no motive for him to fake his disappearance. Indeed, it seemed he had more to look forward to than escape from. Though it has been erroneously reported that the Ugly Tuna Saluna contained only one exit, there were actually others. One of these, the emergency exit, was also monitored by a security camera. Many hours were put into reviewing all of the video footage, but Brian seemingly doesn't make an appearance after 2 a.m.
Then how could they have possibly missed him leaving?
According to Sergeant John Hurst, there was a point in the footage in which there appeared to be a jump cut, suggesting that the camera had been overridden by someone, possibly by a security guard.
That could potentially be an important clue.
It would be, until finding this out. Sergeant Hurst also said that there was an employee stationed at the emergency exit that night. During an interview, this individual said that no one attempted to use that particular exit on the night in question. Another interesting piece of information was that one of the doors led onto a construction site. It has been suggested that Brian could have wandered in there while intoxicated and gotten hurt. This didn't appear to be the case, though, since the area was thoroughly searched afterwards with cadaver dogs in tow and nothing was found. Many have speculated that after leaving the bar, however and whenever that happened, Brian could have either taken his own life or been abducted or possibly robbed and murdered. It must also be noted that the Ugly Tuna Saluna was located in a high crime area. As of today, the bar is now closed. Interestingly, Sergeant Hurst also stated that Brian's scent was tracked to a nearby Wendy's parking lot. However, Hurst wasn't 100% sure that it really is his scent, so whether or not Brian was there that night remains open for speculation.
What about his friend Clint, the one he got into an argument with?
Some have speculated that Clint knows more than he's saying. While he was being cooperative early on in the investigation with law enforcement, Clint soon chose to stop speaking to the police after consulting with his lawyer. He also refused to testify to a grand jury. Whether this is indicative of guilt or rather just prudence and a fear of being falsely accused is open for debate. He has also refused to take a lie detector test, though it's difficult to determine how much significance to attach to this decision, given that the lie detector tests are notoriously unreliable. To this day, no evidence implicating Clint in Brian's disappearance has been discovered. Derek Schaefer, Brian's brother, had this to say about Clint. Quote, "As soon as the detective started getting involved, that's when he pretty much had no contact with anybody. I've always thought he definitely knows something, just won't come forward with it. If Brian did take off somewhere, if that's the case, we just always had a strong feeling that Clint would possibly know that." End quote. These questions, as with so many others in this case, remained unanswered. Sadly, Randy Schaefer, who worked tirelessly to find his son, passed away on September 14, 2008, when a tree fell on him during a windstorm. However, his death inadvertently produced a clue in the case. A private investigator by the name of Don Corbett, who was hired by the Schaefer family, found a curious message posted on the online guestbook for Randy's funeral. The comment read, "Dad, I love you. Love, Brian. U.S. Virgin Islands." The Columbia Division of Police subpoenaed the web host records to trace the commenter's geographic origin. They later determined the post was written on a public computer located in Franklin County. Unfortunately, no significant clues or leads materialized. Corbett has since said that the police wouldn't let him access or view information and evidence related to the Brian Schaefer case. He had to file an application for a right of mandamus to compel case records and evidence from the police chief.
If you think this is the last Brian will pop up, you're wrong. In 2020, the photo of a homeless man in Tijuana, Mexico, bearing a resemblance of Brian Schaefer, went viral on social media. However, face recognition analysis carried out by the FBI later determined that this man was not Brian. There have been no further developments. Brian's case is still open, and the events which led to his disappearance, as well as his current whereabouts, remain a mystery. 15 years after his disappearance, the Ohio Attorney General's Bureau of Criminal Investigation and the Columbus Division of Police today released an age progression image of Brian Schaefer and requested help from the public. As with many cold cases, the main detective on the case has since retired and a new one has been assigned. Detective Blanche Tucker took over and started the process of re-interviewing witnesses and people connected to Brian. Tucker said she believes someone involved with the disappearance withheld information during the original investigation.
Crime Stoppers of Central Ohio still has a $100,000 reward for any information that can help solve this case. You can leave your tip anonymously by calling 614-461-TIPS, or you can follow us on social media on our Instagram at IfIGoMissingPod and DM us your tip and we will get it to the right spot.